Welcome to the Nonprofit Exchange Podcast, stories by leaders for leaders to help you raise the bar on your own excellence to release the potential inside of you. Now, here's today's podcast. Welcome to the Nonprofit Exchange. This is your host, Hugh Ballew. My co-host, David Dunworth, is wrestling with computer today, so he won't be here, but I have a special guest today. This is a function of Center Vision Leadership Foundation. It's synergy in Center Vision. It's the synergy of our common vision. We hold a vision as leaders, and we build synergy in our team, somewhat like a conductor does with a choir or an orchestra. We have an exclusive community for nonprofit leaders and clergy, those leading special charities, membership organizations. If you're a tax-exempt organization, check us out. Nonprofitcommunity.org, nonprofitcommunity.org. It's a community of people like-minded who want to serve others and bring goodness to the world. My guest today is Nathan Andres. He's coming in from the District of Columbia. Nathan, welcome. Would you tell people a little bit about yourself, your background, and your passion for your topic? And let's give them the title. The title today is Your Real Life, Building Authentic Resilience for a Joyful Life. Nathan, tell us about yourself.
Oh, thank you, Hugh. Hello, everybody. I got to tell you, this is my first time to be on Facebook Live. So this is new, and I'm excited by that. It also happens to be World Book Day, if you know what that is. We are celebrating our favorite books. And coincidentally, I wrote a book. We're going to talk about that later, too. But I'm Nate Andres. I am a resilience coach. I'm a former HR executive. I'm still actually doing HR work today. And I'm an activist for well-being in workplaces. And I advocate for mental health for the good of everybody. I really believe everybody has the right to live a joyful life. And that's why I'm here. I'm here to talk about some of the steps and the tools to achieve that.
So give us a little context about what is well-being and what is a well-being activist?
Yeah. Well, well-being is a broad, you know, big world. I like to think of well-being in several dimensions. You know, we all as humans have well-being in a variety of spaces. These seven dimensions is what the most psychologists agree on. And those dimensions are really stretched from social well-being, emotional well-being, physical well-being, environmental, occupational, and even financial well-being. And when we look across these dimensions of well-being, the sum total and how we work in these spaces is what enables us to get to a life of overall well-being and ultimately that byproduct of joy. As an activist, I really think that we have work to do to help people achieve well-being. And where I work is in workplace well-being, so that we can work. I'm going to say the word work a lot. We work a lot in workplaces to achieve workplace well-being. But what I really mean by that is that, you know, when we start to break down some of those dimensions of well-being, and we start to also look at adversity that people face in workplaces, they kind of go hand in hand. You know, people are confronted a lot with social adversity. They're confronted with environmental, you know, issues that are either in the workplace. You know, actually, the World Health Organization defines one of the occupational hazards in workplaces as leadership. Leadership can be a hazard to your mental health, for example. So when we look at well-being in the workplace, you know, my job as a resilience coach is to really try to work in helping people achieve what I call authentic resilience. And when we achieve that, and we're activating people and helping leaders, helping the front line get uncomfortable in the places where we can shift culture and create a culture of well-being, that is where we're actually then activating change and making change for the better in workplace mental health and workplace well-being.
That's fascinating, as leadership is a hazard. you know, just because you got an MBA doesn't know you know, that's management. You know, so what about leadership? I think that's one of the most misunderstood words in the language. So if you look at, we spend a third of our life in bed sleeping, and we spend a big chunk of our life, maybe 8 hours or more a day, sometimes 5 days a week. But I find there's a lot of people that overfunction. They work longer hours and more days, and they get in that trap. So I don't know how that contributes to the lack of their happiness. But at some point, there's a choice we make. But there's some other challenges that we can't change. So what are some of the ways that people can reframe their own thinking to overcome some of the challenges in the workplace?
Great question, Hugh. I think it's important to kind of back up and say, well, how did I get here? How did I get to helping people with their challenges in the workplace? Well, clearly, for me, I had my own challenges in the workplace. And I would tell you, not too long ago, about 5 years ago in 2019, was probably the worst year of my life in terms of career and in terms of all the things that were kind of happening. And I ended up in the hospital with a burnout. And I don't know if people understand what burnout is, but people who are burning out are usually the last people to know. I'll tell you that. And why this kind of is so important to me is I don't want people to get to the place in their work where they have all this adversity. I think these same dimensions of well-being are also the same dimensions of adversity, and they stack up on you. And for me, I had some personal emotional grief that I was dealing with. I had a couple different people in my life pass away. My little dog nearly died. I was living in Hong Kong at the time with a lot of the protests were happening in 2019. I was experiencing some challenges at work with some of the pressures of dealing with the protests in town, but also running a retail business. I was dealing with some challenges in management. And not for nothing, when you have kind of a war zone happening in your environment near where we lived, we had tear gas, we had protesters, we had a lot of violent outbursts, there were fires in the subways. It was a lot. And that stack of adversity, just kind of weighed on me so heavily that I ended up, burning out from work and from all of the things in life. And it's what psychologist Martin Seligman would say is learned helplessness. I learned how to be helpless. And I think oftentimes in workplaces, that's what happens is we get so bogged down by the stresses of delivering and high performance and ambition and career, and then all the politics and hitting the strategy and hitting the numbers that people can really just start to spin in ways that they don't know how to manage that. When I hit that place, and I was in the hospital with some kidney problems, I recognized how far away I was from my purpose, but also that I needed to do some things differently. And as I started to do those things differently for myself, bringing mental health awareness to my workplace, building some programs for people who, needed to consider, their own mental health in the workplace, that's when I started to realize, oh, actually, there's something to this, and we actually need to do some things differently in workplaces so that everybody can benefit from not only resilience, but also can benefit from, taking time out, using vacation, thinking about how well-being actually is a big part of the full day of people. To your point, right? We sleep 8 hours, we work the rest, whether we are doing that at a workplace for a job or we're doing that to live the rest of our lives. And we need to make sure that all of those things are balanced.
Balance is important. Are we called to this? Are we driven? You mentioned burnout in you're talking to nonprofit leaders, and I remind our listeners that the nonprofits, churches, community membership organizations, local charities are also a workplace. You're running a for-purpose business. You're not centered on profitable business, but we really aren't attentive to over half of our nonprofit leaders are burned out and leaving. It's a crisis. So it doesn't happen just in corporate America. It happens in the local charity. And of course, we have various size of what we call nonprofit. We're the only industry that defines ourselves by what we are not. So we are thought leaders, we are social entrepreneurs, And we are setting a new pattern, so we don't need to get into the corporate traps. So I think it's really timely that let's talk about your book. Our interview is also the title of your book. So if you folks, if you're listening on the podcast, you'll see it on the podcast platform. You see the picture of his book. So Nathan, hold up the book and tell us a little bit about the book and the four components of the real model, please. Your real life.
Yes, your real life is really about how to make your life real. But in actuality, REAL is an acronym that stands for the four key components that you can use to build a life of what I call authentic resilience, but also a life of well-being and joy. And I asked the question of myself as I was hitting some of those hard personal points, as I mentioned in 2019. And not for nothing, I've lived through 9/11 and I lived through a couple of hurricanes, some typhoons. I also, if you can believe it or not, also my family liked to tease me about being the king of disasters. Also lived in the yeah, there, that's loaded. That's loaded.
If I ever decide to move where you're living, I won't go
Yeah, well,
there.
yeah, I also lived in Tokyo during the March 2011 earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear disaster. So disaster and catastrophe and I are kind of far-flung friends. And for me, I was like, well, how have I figured out how to get through this stuff? That was the number one question. And number two was, and you're going through a moment of adversity right now, Hugh, with the lights going out, right?
Staying online for some reason, that's good.
That is good. What I was going to say is that when I started researching to kind of ask myself, how do I get through these things? I found that, the science of resilience is really clear. Resilient people do four key things. Number one, they face reality. Number two, they know how to manage their energy. And number three, they are really clued in to who they are and their own authenticity. And last, super resilient people, they lead their lives with love. Now, for everyone paying at home, playing at home, and if you're paying attention, that's REAL. That spells out real, reality, energy, authenticity, and love.
That's great. If you really understand a concept, you can bring it down to something simple that everybody can understand. And Nathan, that's really brilliant. So the four, just give them a summary. The REAL, what do those stand for again?
Reality, leaning in, facing reality, and understanding what to do when hard stuff happens. Number two is energy. We got energy and well-being batteries. And if we think about how we harness our energy and charge up our well-being batteries and manage our energy, you can get through anything. Authenticity is the A. And what I really mean, and I think your audience is really going to understand this because how I define authenticity is really purpose and how we live our values, how we use our strengths, how we drive the meaningful work of our lives. And authentic people use all those experiences in their lives to really get out there and be mission driven. Authenticity, when you are tapping into those values, helps you get through really hard stuff. And last is love. When we lead ourselves and lead our lives with love. And I think, included in my definition is a little bit of forgiveness, a lot of community building, good communication, and a little sense of humor. When we use those four little components of love, you can be unstoppable and be resilient in your life.
That's worth the whole interview right there. So, Nathan, that is great. And we're going to talk about your book in a minute. So, what practical tips do you have to include in each of these pillars? How do we connect this to applicable things we can do every day?
Let's go back. Okay. We're going to get real a couple of times as we go through. But, if we think about the R, facing reality is really what I call the reality curve. And I want everyone to think and visualize kind of a curve. If you have an impact, the first thing you do when you're facing reality is, look at that adversity and you say, I acknowledge you. you ugly adversity. And then you slide down that curve to accept it. When you accept that that adversity has happened, and resilient people move really fast from acknowledge to accept, just like you did, Hugh, when the power went out, you were like, hey, you acknowledged that the power went out, you accepted that the power went out. The next part of that is building what I call and tapping into advertunity. Advertunity is where adversity and opportunity collide. And advertunity is seeing the darkness in that moment. No pun intended, Hugh, the darkness is, how am I going to keep going? Oh, and the advertunity for you in that moment was actually the internet's still working. We're still moving on. You build an action plan. And A is the last part as you climb up the curve. So resilient people move through that reality curve really quickly. And I think when, and I've been talking about this with some of my clients and even my personal trainer, we talk about this all the time. When you move through, you know, from acknowledge to accept to opportunity and action, those four A's, you can get through a lot of things really quick because you're not sitting in the place of suffering. You eradicate and move yourself from learning that learned helplessness. And you actually build action faster than you do when you're suffering and hurting. That's my tip for reality.
Reality, yes, sir. I mean, that's where we ought to be. In freezing up and standing there is not an option. So are there skills related to that besides, you know, there's a mental adjustment that you have to say, okay, I'm going to do something about it. But are there some skills to be able to implement those?
I think a big part of the advertunity mindset is really about looking at things from a positive and optimistic growth mindset. Those two things are intrinsically linked. So when you see something bad happen, you know, and whether that's an earthquake or a tsunami, you know, and you recognize that those things are coming, it might be that you just stepped in dog do, right? Because we've all stepped in dog do once in a while. It's how you move from acknowledging to accepting that you stepped in dog do. Do you stay in that kind of, oh my God, I can't believe I stepped in dog do and my shoes are going to be ruined and I'm on the way to work and I'm going to miss the bus and I've got dirty, stinky shoes. What am I going to do? And you slide down. Or do you say, okay, I've stepped in dog do once before. I know what to do. I've now accepted it. I'm going to just go and stop by the local shoe store and pick up another pair of shoes on the way to work. Oh, and the opportunity is I get a new pair of shoes. Right? That can immediately flip the way you look at adversity, right? That's the skill. It's about how you start to look at the dark side of the hard things.
You know, it's a perspective. You took ownership in that scenario. We're the ones that stepped in the dog do. The dog does what the dog normally does. We want to blame the dog when in fact it's us who was careless and stepped in it.
Did you know we were going to be talking about dog do, Hugh?
I know. I told you we'd have fun on this interview. Little did I know what was going to happen. I got to be careful how I set up expectations. So mental health. It's we're in somewhat of a crisis in, I guess, the global crisis, and mental health is a big issue. So how or where does mental health play a part in today's workplace and the future workplace?
Yep. Well, I think this is where the E of the model comes in. It's about energy. You know, time is finite. And, you know, everyone has a limited number of days and minutes to do what they need to do in their life. So I advocate managing your energy and really thinking about those four batteries, which are, you've got physical battery, you've got an emotional battery, you have a mental battery and a spiritual battery. And if you think about your energies in this way, and I often, you know, use cell phones as a great example. You know, if you think about your cell phone or your computer or your iPad or whatever you're using device, and it starts to get down to that red zone where the battery flashes at you, what do?
Yeah, plug it in.
You plug in. Right, yeah. Everybody, or you, in your case, you go hit the generator button, right? You plug back in. What is important is that we don't let our own batteries get run down. Oftentimes we allow ourselves, particularly at the workplace, and I would guess that in nonprofit organizations, you know, where resources are a little bit more slim and trim, that we put more energy in there. And what happens is if you get down to the red zone and your four batteries are flashing at you to say you're running out, guess what? You're never going to make it to the bank because your well-being tank is empty. So if we think about our own energy in these four areas of physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual energy as true batteries that need to be charged, we're going to be able to be more focused and ready to go, particularly when hard things happen, but also then when we're supercharged, we're able to be amazing at what we're supposed to be doing for our mission-driven work.
Supercharged. Hope you get supercharged, listeners. So Nathan, you have a website, and I'm going to show it to people that are on the video. If you're listening to this on the podcast, now we talked about the particular day, but we're recording this today. It's what day is this? It's April the 23rd, 2024. So people might be listening to it some other time in history, but you can always go to Nathan's website, and it's his name, Nathan, ANDRES.com. So Nathan, when they go there, what will they find?
Well, you're going to find, you know, some tools, a little bit about the book, and you'll learn a little bit about who I am as a coach and as an activist. You will also see that I do speaking, and I write a blog. I write about this stuff pretty regularly, and I'm happy to share my thoughts and my thinking with people about some of these topics and how to really take care of yourself and how to live resilient lives so that you can get to a place of, you know, of joyful living.
Wow. So there's quite a bit of information. It's Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N, Andres, ANDRES.com. Now he goes by Nate, I see. Yep. About Nate, that's, you can spell that, it's only four letters. So that's a good place to go. And there's a connect button. So if people want to talk to you, they go to connect. Is that how it happens?
Yeah, and I'm happy to connect with people. When you hit connect on my website, you'll be able to connect into subscribing to some of the newsletter and some of the resources that I have. And of course, when you look at the book page, you can find out more about how to get your hands on a copy of my book, Your Real Life.
And there's some really implementable ideas there. So it's a good book to have in a leader's library. So Nate, you want to leave people with a thought or a tip today. I want to remind them before you do that, it's the Nonprofit Exchange where you find these interviews, THE, nonprofitexchange.org. If you want to see our community, it's nonprofitcommunity.org, O-R-G. We'd love to have you participate with us because nonprofit leaders need to support each other. And we have this opportunity to listen to people like Nate and learn from them. Nate, this has been great stuff today. What do you want to leave people with?
I think what's important to me is in order to live a life of well-being and joy, you know, I want everyone to remember that you're in control. And actually, as individuals, we're all in control of the choices that we make. There's always a choice. And when we think about our mission and the work that we're on, and we tune into who we are as people and our values, our authentic selves, and really show up for ourselves, we use the tools of being real, then you can absolutely be in a place of control so that you get to a place for yourself of well-being and joy. That's what I hope this book is about. It's what I want for people. It is my mission. It's my work to be able to be out there, you know, helping people build authenticity and resilience.
Nate, thank you so much. My goal is to have our listeners learn something, but I learn something just about every day. And this is number 390 interviews, and not been one just like this, but it's been so helpful. So Nate Andres, thank you for being our guest today on the Nonprofit Exchange.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to The Nonprofit Exchange.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.